This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Oh, we got a good one in store for you today. A jam-packed show of guests. We have CSU head men's basketball coach Ali Farokmanesh going to be on with us in the 11 o'clock hour. And then UNC Bears, one of their safeties, a good friend of ours, Miles McClarity, phenomenal journey, but also just a dialed-in sports dude. He's going to be on with us in the 12 o'clock hour. I love this. I love doing this stuff. Let's give these young athletes a chance to get in and flex their sports muscles on the opinions and takes side of things. And then the Denver Post, Sean Keeler, will join me. We got some big wins last night. The Avs left no doubt after an easy first period. And the Denver Nuggets barely got it. But that should, Michael, that should allow the Nuggets to avoid the play-in. And what's going on in Nebraska, as Cody the weather guy says? We'll talk about it all, the whole show, Mike. When does it start, bro? When does it start?
In 5 minutes.
Now! It out of the park, and you're still swinging on it, buddy. Welcome into the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe, and it was a great night for both the Denver Nuggets and the Colorado Avalanche. The Avs get it done. What was it, 4-1 after the first period against Pittsburgh, and that was a significant win. As we're getting down to the stretch of it here, because the Avs lost to the Penguins 7-2 last time around. And I think that game, that was right before the Stars game, that game kind of had us freaking out a little bit. No, they got to bounce back. Oh, they got the Stars. Well, after the Stars overtime loss, still got the point, but they've now won 3 in a row. So the Avs are cleaning some things up. They'll go back at it against Winnipeg tomorrow night, I believe, 6 o'clock. So big win, 6-2 over Pittsburgh after losing 7-2 a week ago. That was a nice one. Nuggets win, 125-123. They did survive the pressure cooker. I said they were in the whole show pressure cooker defensively, but specifically guarding in the paint. And yeah, 123 points isn't a lot. But they did keep, or is a lot, excuse me, but they did keep the Suns under their total, their average in points in the paint. They're a 42, 43 point a night type of team that scores in the paint. This was 36. They're bad. They're really bad. So for Denver to outscore them in the paint, 58-36, big deal. Also in the standings, it's a big deal because it's getting tight and we're getting down to it. 9 games remaining for your Denver Nuggets, and they are sitting in the fourth spot at 45-28. Now they are 5 games ahead of the Suns in that play-in spot, and that's significant. So beating the Suns last night, hey, Houston owes them a thank you, Minnesota owes them a thank you, because all the teams that are kind of in that conversation, in which it would be, honestly, it might be all of them other than the Thunder and the Spurs. Lakers, probably safe. Denver, all but a guarantee. But they play tonight, Mike. The Nuggets play tonight. And I guess there was like a delay in their flight and everything. And, I mean, they got the Mavericks tonight. The Mavericks were already in Denver before Denver got there. There's a delay. And listen, it sucks. It's stupid. I don't know why this is allowed in the NBA. That's another thing that Adam Silver needs to look into. We shouldn't have back-to-backs. We shouldn't have them. We don't have them in the playoffs. Why do we have them? Why do we have them in the regular season? And why is it one night's in Phoenix and then they get done? It's a late game. They didn't tip this thing off until 9:20 last night. And now they got to turn around and play at 8. I'm not sitting here making excuses. It's just like, if we can avoid it, why not avoid it? All teams go through it. Denver's not alone in this. But this is another big issue surrounding the association.
Yeah, the only sport that should be allowed to do this is baseball.
Because
right, baseball doesn't require
a lot of
physical effort.
Well,
except on the pitcher side.
Okay.
And the knees of the catcher.
All right. Well, in baseball, they do this in the playoffs. They go back to back in the playoffs. That's what they're. It's just like the regular season. This is why I always hated the old wild card format. You go from having a series all season long, and then boom, one game in the wild card to decide who's actually getting into the playoffs or move on to the playoffs, and then it's back to the series again. They fixed that, which I'm very thankful. I'm just not a big fan of let's change up your playoffs compared to what your regular season looks like. If you don't have back-to-backs in the playoffs, which I'm glad they don't, you shouldn't have them in the NBA. But can I say something? And I know we got a break here because I want to get to Coach Ali Farouk Manesh. Why do reporters do this now, Mike? Can you just report and tell me what time they got on their flight and what time they got off their flight? I don't need you to go head to pillow. Why does that annoy me? Reporters are doing that now. And reporters that I respect and I love, and they're still throwing that in there. The Nuggets got on their plane at whatever time and got off at this time and then got to the hotel at this time, head to pillow at this time. First off, if we're just being literal with it, you don't know when their head hits the pillow, and you shouldn't.
Yeah, and if you do, you're a creeper.
It's creepy. Why does that annoy me so much? I've just started to see it recently this year. Head to pillow.
They're just trying to sound creative.
Nah, I don't like it. Can we get rid of it? Just tell me when they got off the plane. Tell me when they checked into their hotel. Because most of the reporters I'm talking about, and I love them and respect them, are also on that plane.
Have you seen it from Keeler?
No, but I'm going to give him crap if he does it. Guys and gals that I really respect do this, and it's weird. 12 minutes after the hour, Ali Farouk Manesh, year one for a great friend of the show's, is in the books. The Rams lost in their NIT game last week, but now they're moving on, and we got to figure out who's coming back on this roster. So we'll get to that coming up next. Here it is, the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
McKinnon, Jokic, McCarr, Murray. Hear the postseason legends in their quest for another title. A Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
First year is in the books officially for Colorado State head basketball coach Ali Farouk Manesh, and it was a crazy season. You know, they ended up finishing 21 wins. Ended up 11-9 in the conference at one point. They were 3-8 in the conference. It was a hell of a finish for this Rams team, and they got into the NIT. Joining me now, head coach Ali Farouk Manesh. Coach, my friend, congrats! Your first season in the books, man. How do you feel?
Good, Brady. No, it was a fun year. Like it was a fun group to coach. Having so many new people, not only just the players. We had 8 new players out of the 14, and then on top of that, then you have basically 7 new staff members out of your 9 people on staff. So it was a big learning curve for everyone. And then you throw in the first year coach to all that too, and it's a lot of new people. So it was. it was fun to see us, you know, come out as strong as we did in the non-conference, and then kind of fall off there for a little bit, and injuries had a lot to do with that. But then to see us bounce back the way we did to end the season, I was really proud of the group, and it was a fun group to coach all year.
What a phenomenal turnaround it was for you guys too. I mean, that I think it was the last day in January you guys played that team up north, coach, and after that you guys are 3-8 in the conference. From that point on, you said, you know what, no more. We've got it figured out. We've got this group, a bunch of new guys. And boy, everything just started to click from that point for you.
Yeah, I just kind of told them, like, hey, guys, let's just stop losing. And then they just did.
Good coaching. That's like my advice, coach. I mean,
yeah,
come on.
Yeah, it's that simple. No, they did a great job. We had a bye week after that, and I thought we kind of went back to some of the basics of what we do and how we do things. And you can lose yourself in the game sometimes and worrying about the other team too much. And we probably got to that point a little bit. We were worried about other people too much instead of just focusing on ourselves. And I thought that changed us a ton as we just really started focusing on ourselves, how we could individually get better. What did our team need to focus on more? And then also I thought the guys just really started to buy into a different level. And that's hard to do when you're losing. Especially in today's age where there's a lot of more outside noise than I ever had to deal with or even players in the past. I think there's just a lot of people that are coming at these kids in a different way than has ever been seen before. And so for them to keep their heads down and stay together and keep working the way they did, that doesn't happen a lot of places in the entire country. So I know I'm blessed to be able to work with the guys that I worked with this year and the staff too. Like, I thought the staff did a tremendous job of sticking with these guys when things weren't going right.
Well, and for you, I mean, in this first year, I always looked at it, coach, like that 20 win mark. You get to that 20 win mark and that kind of separates you, you know, that puts you up there in my mind, at least, you know, upper echelon, good to great type area. For you to do that in year one, after, again, to start the season, you're without your big guys off and on. We had some injuries there. I know you dealt with Josh Pascarelli was out a lot. Again, To battle back and find a way to get to those 20 wins. I know you're wanting more. I know that that's the goal as soon as next season, as we jump to the Pac-12. But it's a phenomenal start. I don't think we can get around it.
Yeah, no, like, it's hard. Like, I mean, between out of our top six guys, they missed over 40 games. So it was a lot of up and down in the lineups, a lot of movement. Right, the hardest thing to do, especially in today's age when you're adding so many new pieces every single season, is figuring out your rotation. And the quicker you can figure out your rotation, the more success you can have. Like, I truly believe that. And it took us a while. We kind of had a rotation after Creighton, and then Rashawn got hurt. And so then we had to change that up. And then Rashawn came back, and that kind of changed things again. And then we lost those next two games, the Denver and Virginia Tech, and then he went out again. And then we come back, we go on another little run after that and beat Colorado and go from there, and you're 9-2, and then instantly the next game you play, Kyle gets hurt, and now he's out. And so now Kyle and Rashawn are both out. So it was difficult managing that, especially in your first season. But I thought we eventually figured out the rotation again and figured out, okay, we needed Kyle and Rashawn to not play together as much. We thought that was the right thing to do, and we kind of flipped that back again and went back to Kyle as the starter and Rashawn coming off the bench with a different presence, and then Carey getting back in the four-man spot with a few more minutes going forward. And I thought our staff did a good job of kind of evaluating where our guys were at and what we needed to do to change the lineups and change up who was playing better together. And right, that it changes while you're getting hurt. You're trying to figure it out, but until you have your full lineup back, you don't really know for sure. And then we were able to do that. And after that Wyoming game is kind of when we made all the changes back to what we thought was the best thing for the team.
Well, it's always about finding a way to press those right buttons, and sometimes practice can tell you so many things about your team, but it can't always tell you about what combination's going to actually work once you get into some of these games and these intense moments. You can coach up all the scenarios you want in practice, but sometimes finding those combinations, it takes those reps inside each and every game, which, again, we point out so many new faces, there's only so much time to try to figure that out before you have to figure that out.
No, absolutely. And I that's why I'm lucky that I had the staff I have. That I thought they did a great job of just continuing to evaluate things in different ways and look at things and from a different viewpoint without changing completely who we are. And I think that's the hard thing to do. You don't want to change your standards. You don't want to lower what you're doing, but you got to sometimes change your viewpoint on things. And I thought we did a great job of just reevaluating things and revisiting things and not being stuck in the mud of what we do, but also not forgetting who we are too.
Coach, you mentioned earlier, you know, the outside noise stuff. What was like the biggest difference for you? You're a well-decorated assistant coach. I mean, everyone that knew this program, we all kind of knew. Well, if Medved goes away, we know who's going to be the next head coach. But obviously, there's a big difference, I should say, between that assistant chair to that head coach chair, a million different things. Was there one thing in particular that kind of stood out to you?
I think it's more – I think it was – There was a lot of things. But I think one of the things that I think stood out to me the most was just same thing as we said with the guys, but trying to not let the outside noise influence you on anything. And that was hard sometimes. Like I had to get off social media completely, like not scroll anymore. Like I would literally just post whatever on there and then get off it. And I didn't have to do that as much when I was an assistant. But I think as a head coach, it's different now. So I literally tried to stop listening to the outside noise and stop listening to people that aren't with us every single day. Because it's the same thing, like, unless you are in there in practice every day or you're with the team every day or you're watching the film constantly, you don't really know what's going on. And then also leaning on the mentors that I believe in and have the same philosophy as I do with coaching and how you approach it. Cause you got to stay true to who you are. Like I'll never be Dan Hurley, right? That's not my personality, but I probably lean more towards it. Like the Greg McDermott's, the Ben Jacobson's of the world, the Randy Bennett's, those are kind of the people that I probably tailor myself to and whatnot. So I called those people more than anybody else and just kind of took what they did in certain areas or in certain situations, but then still had to stay true to who I was at the same time. So a little bit of not listening to people and then selectively listening to certain people. Well, and then I guess that's including my wife.
Well, and again, I follow both of you guys on the socials, and you two are just awesome. I mean, so supportive of each other. And I love that side. That's what I really appreciate about following a program closely is you get to see all those extra bits of information that goes into making, you know, who a head coach is, to making what a program is all about. And a lot of times that's family first. You mentioned the Dan Hurley thing. Coach, I mean, you got that technical. You could be well on your way to being a Dan Hurley kind of guy. I don't know.
Yeah, funny thing is, like, I tried two other times early in the year to get technicals, and they didn't give it to me.
Yeah.
And then I don't know.
My man
got a little sensitive there at the end of the game. And just because the weird thing was he kicked a fan out of the game, too. There was only, like, 2,000 people there because it was a 9 p.m. tip-off.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was March, and everyone was getting a little tired, and I think everyone was a little sensitive at the end, and it was a weird way to end it. But no, I was not expecting to get that technical.
No.
I was not trying to. It's a really uneventful way to get your first technical.
Yeah, it's not like one of those, like, oh man, he's doing it to inject some life. It just was like, oh, there's a whistle. What happened?
No, yeah. It was, because of the technical, it was stupid. Like, it was my fault. Like, I guess I should have not put myself in that position. So, yeah, my first technical was really dumb. So I'm not proud of it. Like, I don't know if you should be proud of a technical, but like that was the worst way to get a technical, to get your first one for sure.
Well, you know what? No one will care at the end of the day. And sure, Coach, you're going to have those. You're going to have those animated ones that I don't know. Maybe you won't. But if you do, we'll remember it forever, and it's going to be epic.
Exactly. And now I got to get a good one at some point.
You got to make it. You got to make it count.
I got to make it worth it because that first one wasn't worth it.
Coach, I want to ask too. You talk about like being involved with the program, and there's a lot of people that don't know things. This is why we have you on. We want to ask Josh Pascarelli. I got to bring it up. You know, we saw he was battling injuries a lot down the stretch of the season. He does make his appearance. He plays in that San Diego State game and then doesn't play in the NIT game against St. Joe's. We were just talking about that game. Still the injury situation there? Because, again, people like me, people, whatever, Rams, you tend to look into that sometimes and just wonder what that means. But probably just an injury-related situation?
Yeah, no, he just the ankle got – It wasn't 100% even the conference tournament, and he came back the first day of practice on that Monday. We did like a three-line passing drill where they're getting up and down the court more, and he was just limping while he was running, and it got to the point where I was like, it's just not worth it.
Yeah.
So he still wanted to play, but I just the way he was running and moving. If he would have played, he probably would have ended up hurting something else then eventually too. So it was just we didn't want to put him in that situation and honestly didn't want to affect us and the team in the future going forward.
Well, and that's kind of where we are with college sports, whether it's football season or basketball season. When a guy doesn't play in those, whether it's a bowl game or an NIT tournament game or something, for better or worse, some of our brains tend to go that route and wonder, well, does that mean he's not coming back next year? And I know you're still sorting through that to, you know, to be able to tell us who's coming back in the next few weeks or let the players do it. But a guy's got to ask, Coach. You can't blame me.
No, 100%. Like I it's funny. Like after you said that, I was thinking about. I was like, yeah, I guess people. I did think that. I guess, but
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
If
you know Josh, no, like that's not who he is. And we'll address all those other things at a later date. But I'll never anybody that's for the future of the team and whatnot. I'm not gonna. I want those guys to be able to have the opportunity to announce those things. And whatnot, so I'm not gonna steal anyone's thunder on any of those things.
Well, Coach, I gotta ask this one then. Jevon Muniz, obviously senior. I saw this story from Dan or this post from Dan Murphy, ESPN, referring to Senator Tommy Tuberville of Alabama introduced a narrow college sports bill. Was this yesterday or the day? It was yesterday that would set eligibility limits at a max of 5 consecutive years to play 5 consecutive seasons. So I just have to at least ask the question. I'm looking at it and I count 1, 2, 3, 4. Is there a possibility of a fifth season for Jevon, or are we done? Is he gone for sure?
Well, I think with that specific. Ruling and whatnot. And I guess it's not a ruling yet. But it's there's a lot of things that have to get passed before anything comes to fruition with that. Which I'm guessing that's probably going to go outside of Jevon's time limit right now. He's still working on some other stuff. There's some other random outside possibilities of maybe getting a fifth year. And we're going to keep one scholarship open, possibly too. So. If that did happen, I'm not saying no to Jevon coming back, but I think as of today, it's probably gonna be hard to get that fifth year for him. But we'll definitely see what options are out there for him as well, because it was a fun year having Jevon with us.
Yeah.
It was you never know how things are gonna go exactly for anybody when you first have them commit and. You see a vision for what they can do for you next year and what they can be in your system and at Colorado State. And he was exactly what we thought he was going to be. And I thought that was the best part is like kind of the stuff that we talked about and how we viewed him and what we thought he could become here. He really did. Like he became a better shooter. He became a better defender. And obviously his passing really translated and it translated at a high level too. I wouldn't even say it translated. He became an elite playmaker for other people this year, and I think that's what we thought we could get him to. It was just really fun to see that come to fruition, and I think that's the best part about coaching in today's age is you have a vision for what you think that person can do. It's almost like recruiting a freshman, but out of the portal, and to see it happen the way it did for him and for the team was pretty special.
It would be awesome to see. It would be awesome to see him get another year, you know, with you and your coaching staff. Talk about another dude like Jace Butler. Jace Butler, I mean, he just kept getting better every single game. He really started to come into his own on that stretch you went into end the season and into the conference tournament. What another great story.
Yeah, no, it's you know, Jace and Carey kind of put him in the same category with guys that didn't get the opportunities that they wanted where they were, and maybe just didn't fit exactly at those places. And they fit pretty well here, so it was fun. It was awesome to see them grow the way they did too, because it was Jace obviously like was a little slower coming out of the gates, but man, I thought he had a great last 2.5 months. We do not win those games down the stretch without Jace, and I thought he was a huge difference maker in that. And then I thought Carey just continued all season to get better and better and better. And him too, I thought they played their best the last month of the season, and it was really fun to see them. Kind of the same thing as Jevin in some ways, where it's you have this vision for what you think they can get to, and for it to actually happen and honestly probably exceed some of it as well was there's nothing more gratifying than that happening as a coach, is to see the guys you work with every day reach that point of success and find success like that.
Coach, last one for you. And I know you're not going to break that news that these players, that's what they do now. They're going to put it out there. But can you just tell, like, are you feeling pretty good about, you know, most of this roster coming back? Because that's obviously the number one question on Rams fans' minds is who's coming back?
Yeah, it's all about retention with this team. Like, we only had Jevin was the only senior. So the biggest thing for us is not the portal. It's not the portal. It's the retention of the group that we have. And so we're sifting through that. We've been sifting through that. And we're lucky enough. We have a great donor base and great fans and help from the university as well with Amy Parsons and the Board of Regents and obviously John Weber and the administration. They've done a great job of putting us in a really good position to be able to retain the roster. And I think we're in a way better spot than we were last year in terms of our NIL and rev share, than a way better position. We were what Jerry Calhoun said his number was, we were significantly less than that. So I think now we're in a better spot going into the Pac-12. And I think that's the biggest thing now is there are no more, and it's not a knock on those programs, but there's no San Jose States, there's no Air Force, it's Oregon State, Washington State, San Diego State, Boise State, Gonzaga now, Texas State. There's some heavy hitters in the Pac-12 night in and night out, and to be able to compete in today's age, it is the rev share and the NIL is that's the key.
Coach Ali Farouk Manesh. Hey, I saw some cool news too on CSU signee Erica Feidler for being named the Colorado Gatorade Player of the Year. So that's awesome, and I know Rams fans are pumped about that news today.
No, it was awesome for Eric, and he had a great senior year. And I mean, he did a lot for his team, it was fun to see him navigate that too. He was getting double teamed, triple teamed all season long, and for him to still average 30 points, rebound the ball, pass the ball, make plays for his teammates. He had a really impressive senior year, and now he's only 72 days away from getting here on campus and getting going in the green and gold now too.
I love it. And I'm always careful because I don't know when and how or why I can ask or when I can ask or when I can say anything. But because I know you can retweet stuff and I know you can. Now, obviously, we're well beyond that. But I know last time I had you on, I don't think we could talk about it. So excited about this young man. I think he's got a bright future with the Colorado State Rams.
Yeah. Last time I couldn't talk about him yet. It was like, like Voldemort, you couldn't say his name, but you knew he existed.
What is the rule too? Like you can repost a story about them, but you can't a story about them.
You can repost it. You can click. So you can click. You can repost. You can like it.
Oh, you can like it. Okay.
You can't comment on it.
You can't even say like, you know, wow. You can't even say that. Like, wow. You can't even do that.
No, you can't. Can't quote tweet it. I could just send a like an encrypted tweet out. It was like, wow, number 24 at that school in red up in Denver. It's like, well, then there's another kid that we have committed that I can't talk about right now. They got some accolades as well that's supposed to come here, but he's in the Voldemort category right now. So.
Well, I think you should just start retweeting him and saying, I like basketball. That's our new code now. I like basketball. Yeah. That's what I mean. Hey, we did get a texter here. Where will the Pac-12 tournament be held next year? John Fort Fun wants to know, Coach.
I don't know if I'm supposed to say
you don't have to.
I don't know exactly the exact location, but I believe it's going to be in Vegas still.
Okay.
So that won't change. I believe that's what the Pac-12 wants to keep.
Keeping
around the in Vegas. I just don't know the venue 100% right now.
Pac-12 final year in the Mount West. It's in the books, and it was a very successful year. Coach, I'm looking forward to seeing what this Rams team can do in what should be a blast of a conference with this new Pac-12.
No, it's gonna be a lot of fun. Like, I mean, I say that right now until those games start. But like night in and night out, it's gonna be a battle. And like you better believe, like Texas State hasn't been the best team in the country the last few years and whatnot. But they're in Texas, like they're going to invest some resources into that program going forward. So it's going to be a great league. I'm looking forward to it. The better the league is, the more opportunities we're going to have to get at large bids, and that's what it's about.
All right, Coach, my friend, appreciate you as always, and I'm looking forward to year two, which I know has already begun for you. The process has probably started a while ago, and as always, man, we appreciate the time and wish you the best of luck in the offseason.
No, thanks, Brady. Appreciate it.
All right, man. CSU head coach Ali Faruqmanesh. And they were good this year. They found a way, man. There was a while, Mike, when they lost to Wyoming on Saturday, January 31st. I thought this could just be maybe a learning type year for the Rams under a new coach. And they said, no, we're going for more than that. They beat San Jose State. They beat Air Force. They got revenge and beat Wyoming. They beat UNLV on the road. They beat the Aztecs at Moby. They beat Fresno State. And then San Jose State again. Oh, my gosh. They went into the pit and beat New Mexico. It was a phenomenal finish for Ali Faruqmanesh and his Colorado State Rams. All right, we'll take a short break here. Michael, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Cody Tucker with 7220sports.com, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Played for a Football 52 podcast a few weeks ago, Mike, because they're getting lights. I don't know when, but they're getting lights. So
are they getting all of the lights?
They're getting all of the lights. Probably every light. Probably just going to get every light that ever existed. Had a great podcast this morning with Ed Lamb, Football 52.
The guy wasn't sheepish.
No, he was. No, come on. We're bringing it today, Mike. Remember what I said this morning in the pregame huddle? When we broke huddle, I said, bring it today. And you said, yeah, I'm going to bring it today, man. And that, I believed you. I believe in you, man. I believe in you.
I'll share with you guys my pun later.
All right, here's what's happening, man. I talked to Coach about this, Coach Lamb about this arbitration case could bring change to college sports. Dan Murphy, Max Olson, and Pete Thamel all got together and wrote this story. That's how, like, complex it is. So it's been less than a year after we got the multi-billion dollar settlement designed to bring stability to college sports, basically getting a salary cap rather than the richest teams in football just blowing past any kind of a spending cap, but it's happening. So this idea was supposed to have a settlement that kept the richest teams in football from blowing past the spending cap that their schools agreed to follow, testing the strength of the thin tethers that keep all 138 football bowl subdivision programs competing under the same tent. Mike, there's a salary cap. So I was listening to random Denver talk yesterday, and they're like, man, wouldn't it be great to just have like a salary cap in college sports? Here's a news flash. That's why I got to listen to the whole show, right? They do have that. That was implemented. There is a salary cap. The problem is, Mike, it's 20 plus million. That doesn't actually count. You can use NIL deals as a part of that, but that doesn't actually count. If you are a random player and you're going to play college sports for a team and you got paid a certain amount, there's nothing to stop you from going over that certain amount with NIL deals, your own deals. Well, the CSC, the College Sports Committee, is that what it is? What is it? I don't know. College Sports Commission, they were put together to try to get to the bottom of some of these NIL deals, meaning you can't just use extra dollars from donors and use those as inducements if you're already over the salary cap. So we know about this House settlement. It was a set of rules for paying players that was intended to prevent the top programs from spending at a pace that made it impossible for the 100-plus other schools to compete, according to this article. But driven by a fear of falling behind their peers and a lack of faith that any rules can effectively be enforced in today's college sports world, those top programs have aggressively pursued loopholes to build rosters that are often worth double the money the schools are allowed to share directly with their players. Those rules are facing the real test today. A group of 18 Nebraska football players, backed by their school, are challenging a recent decision by the College Sports Commission to deny millions of dollars in NIL contracts that they signed this winter, multiple sources confirmed to ESPN. The CSC CEO, Brian Seely, that's a lot of C's going on, said he could not comment or confirm the details of any ongoing arbitration cases. And Nebraska officials declined to comment as well. So basically, they're trying to see if these were legitimate deals. They're trying to go. They're trying to sift through all that to see if what's happening. If these Nebraska kids win this case, then all bets are off, Mike. The hell gate opens up. If they lose this case, then we might actually have some sort of control. I want to get into this. I know we have to break here, but this is a wild one, and I want to get to it. But I don't even know. Like, in a perfect world, yeah, let's give you a salary cap. You can't go over that. Well, you can still go out and earn. You can still go out and get NIL deals. Professional athletes are doing it. We'll talk about it. Stick with us here on The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Single game. We have the madness on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, a former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Look what you do to the Hooligans, Mike. Texter from John Fort Weather. You guys are really bad today. What do you mean you? I know you're going you guys, but not. I'm not a part of that. I'm bringing the heat, man. That was a great, great discussion with Ali for Okmanesh. And then Michael's doing whatever he does. So don't put me in that same category. Don't put that kind of evil on me. Big City Roadhouse. Here's what I'm going to recommend today. Try the Big City Burger. It is amazing. You can get the single, you can get the double, you can even get the triple if you want to. But it is delicious. One of the best burgers around for a reasonable price. You got like a five-star chef making that is one of the owners over there at Big City, making all of these fantastic meals. You got to check them out. Big City Roadhouse. They are the best, in my opinion, the best restaurant around. Big City feel, Big City flavor, Roadhouse comfort. Wow, there it is. Faith says, great interview, I thought. Thank you, Faith. Don't put me in the same category as Michael. The world's biggest insult. And that's not an insult to you, Mike, if I can say that professionally. Don't feel bad about that.
We're playing disco the rest of the show.
No, probably not. Coming up next, we're going to have top stories of the day. I'll get more into this Nebraska stuff. Miles McClarity, a safety for the UNC Bears, is going to join me. I did a podcast with him a while back. That's how I got to know him. And I got to know his wonderful mother. And we've all just kind of developed a really cool relationship. So he's going to be in with us. And he's going to give us his sports takes, too. Top stories coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.